From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
Once I got to Peck and I started taking the classes, I thought I might do medicine, but I wasn't sure, so education was another route. And what was good about applied biology is you got the best of both worlds. So there was a track for medicine if you chose to go into medicine, but there was also a track if you wanted to do microbiology, biochemistry. It was just a lot of different options within that track.
Dr. Dopase Amana, a board-certified internal medicine physician who specializes in managing patients with acute and chronic illnesses, and founder of the Wellness Institute located in Suwanee, Georgia. Dr. Amana earned a BS degree in applied biology from the Georgia Institute of Technology and then pursued a passion for medicine and earned her medical degree from the Medical College of Georgia at Augusta University in 2005. She completed her internal medicine residency from Mayo Clinic Jacksonville and a one-year chief residency fellowship at Mayo Clinic. In June 2018, the CDC released an alarming report that stated in this country, suicide had risen 25% over the past 15 years. Also, the report revealed that in 2016, nearly 45,000 people died by suicide, and while some deaths were attributed to mental health disorders, many appeared to be related to individuals succumbing to the pressures of life. To that end, Dr. Amana founded the Wellness Institute. I'm John L. Hanson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, the Wellness Institute with Dr. Dopase Amana, M.D., In Black America.
My experience over the past decade, and then just my experience with individuals, whether through church or, I'm a people person. I like to talk to people, like to listen. And one of the biggest things you learn as a physician is just to watch individuals. Sometimes I'm just watching how people walk into the office. But as I was taking care of patients and just interacting whether with friends, people and just in the environment, one of the things that just kept coming back to me is a lot of things that we deal with health-wise can be tied back to something that's causing us stress. And then when you look at it, it ties back to how are we processing it mentally. And so outside of this, my other fun activity is working with my nonprofit. And I just wanted to do something where we could train individuals to refocus their thought process and to get the tools that they need to live a better, positive, effective life.
In 2018, Dr. Dopase Amana founded the Wellness Institute, a gym for the mind located in Suwanee, Georgia. The Institute offers on-site and online health and wellness empowerment sessions for individuals and also customized programs for workplace wellness. The focus is on six areas of wellness: mental health, financial, physical, lifestyle, social, and personal professional wellness. Born in Nigeria but raised in Stone Mountain, Georgia with her two younger brothers, Dr. Amana's parents recognized her love for humanity and nurtured that love by involving their children in community and nonprofit organization activities. For 14 years now, Dr. Amana has been a board-certified internal medicine physician who specializes in managing patients with acute and chronic illnesses. Inspired by the women in her immediate circle, Dr. Amana is on a mission to train individuals to live their best life by improving their mindset. Recently, she spoke within Black America.
I had a great family. It was me and my two younger brothers, and my mom and dad, so very close family, very interactive. One of my brothers played baseball, so we were constantly at baseball games. The other one was a musician, so we were constantly at concerts for him. But, I mean, it was good.
And what were some of your favorite subjects while you were in school?
Math and science. I had to love math because my dad's background is in math. Mm-hmm. And then science came naturally. My mother is a nurse, so it was already part of the family.
And you did your undergraduate where?
At Georgia Tech.
And why Georgia Tech? It's not far from home?
Not far from home. That wasn't my big reason. I think at the time I thought I wanted to do engineer like my father, but when I got to Georgia Tech and I started doing science classes, I realized I like science better than going into engineering.
Tell our audience about earning a BS in applied biology.
So once I got to Tech and I started taking the classes, I thought I might do medicine, but I wasn't sure, so education was another route. And what was good about applied biology is you got the best of both worlds. So there was a track for medicine if you chose to go into medicine, but there was also a track if you wanted to do microbiology, biochemistry. It was just a lot of different options within that track.
So what sparked that interest in medicine?
A lot of individuals in my family are physicians. Like I have an uncle who's a physician. My mother was a nurse. So it was part of my life growing up, and I was just trying to figure out which one made more sense. And I love the sciences.
And what drew you to internal medicine?
So when you're in medical school, you get the opportunity to do a lot of different fields. And one of the things I liked the most was the people connection with internal medicine, particularly primary care, because as a primary care provider, I would follow these patients basically their entire life. And I'm a very big people person, so I thought, I think I'll go this route. And so internal medicine drew me, because you use your mind a lot, and also the interpersonal relationships.
So were there other people of color while you were in medical school?
Yeah, there was. It was a minority, of course, but there was. And I still connect with some of them to this day, and I went to medical school some years ago.
So how grueling is the subject matter?
For medical school, it's a lot of reading, a lot of retention. If you're passionate about what you're doing, it motivates you. So I cannot say it's easy, but it's well worth it. And anyone who decides to go into it just has to make up their mind that this is what they want to do, just like any field.
Now, everyone has heard of the Mayo Clinic, and you did your residency at the Jacksonville facility. How was that?
I loved it. Now, you remember, Mr. Hansen, I was just saying I don't do cold weather. Mayo Clinic has a few campuses. They have Arizona, they have Florida, and then their major campus, which is in Rochester.
Right.
So automatically Rochester
was out.
It was out. Arizona was too far from home because I am very close to my parents. And I thought, okay, I can leave and go to Jacksonville. And one of my uncles, again, trained at Mayo Rochester, so he was a motivating force.
And you did your medical training at Northeastern Georgia Physicians Group. Tell us about that.
Well, I did my medical training at Mayo. So I went to College of Georgia Tech, and then after that, I went to medical school at the Medical College of Georgia in Augusta. Then after you're finished with medical school, you do residency. So I did 3 years of general internal medicine residency at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. Ate 1 year and did a chief fellowship year where I got to teach my fellow residents who were first, second, and third years. At this time, I was a fourth year. Then after I was finished, I joined a practice up in Gainesville, which was Northeast Georgia Physicians Group.
Was there a life outside of medicine during that period?
I created a life, but honestly, during medical school, it was mostly medicine. Residency was a little bit better. My life happened a lot more after all of that was done.
And once you completed all that, you went into a practice?
Yes, I joined a hospital system that has a group with it, Northeast Georgia Physicians Group, and I've been working in the same place for the past decade.
And there, what are you responsible for?
So there, I have my own practice of patients within the physicians group. I recently became one of the associate program directors for our internal medicine residency program. And then I also have the role as a medical director for six of the clinics within our Northeast Georgia Physicians Group.
Now, Dr. Uman, I understand that you specialize in managing patients with acute and chronic illnesses.
Yes.
Why so?
Because that's what primary care is. So think about when you go see your primary doctor. My patient population starts at age 18, though I have a few that are minors. The majority are 18 to the end of life. And so on any given day, I see almost everything. I can have a patient come in and their only complaint is a sore throat. Then I can have one come in who's having chest pain and you're concerned about having an actual heart attack in the office. And of course, manage chronic conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, people who've had strokes, heart attacks. So a wide array of everything.
Now, you there in the southeast in the state of Georgia, are there any acute medical concerns you have about the population there?
Yes, diabetes is huge. For clarification, when you say acute, are you talking about things that are happening every day? Because I see all of it, John. I mean, literally, I have patients.
That concern you that needs to be addressed.
Yes, yes. Outside of just the chronic medical conditions, one of the things that led me towards this wellness institute is the mind, the state of individuals and how they deal with stress, whether it be financial stress, stressors at home, stressors at work, but it does affect them. And so it's anxiety, depression, then it can also manifest into chronic medical conditions.
Dr. Yamana, what led you to open up the Wellness Institute?
My experience over the past decade, and then just my experience with individuals, whether through church or, like I said, I'm a people person. I like to talk to people, like to listen. And one of the biggest things you learn as a physician is just to watch individuals. Sometimes I'm just watching how people walk into the office. But as I was taking care of patients and just interacting, whether with friends, people, and just in the environment, one of the things that just kept coming back to me is a lot of things that we deal with health-wise can be tied back to something that's causing us stress. And then when you look at it, it ties back to how are we processing it mentally. And so outside of this, my other fun activity is working with my nonprofit. And I just wanted to do something where we could train individuals to refocus their thought process and to get the tools that they need to live a better, positive, effective life. So I tell patients all the time, go work out. And when I say go work out, to improve whether their blood pressure, their blood sugar, their weight, I'm telling them to go to the gym, a physical gym, walk, exercise. So the mind gym is the same thing, except now I want to work out their mind.
Why is it so difficult for us to understand that the mental health is also a part of our physical well-being?
I think there's unfortunately still a taboo about talking about mental health. When you say the word mental health, individuals automatically clam up. They think they're going to be judged. Everyone has this feeling that you're calling them quote-unquote crazy, which is not the case. And so because it's not as popular to say, hey, I'm being treated or I'm getting counseling, as it is to say I'm working out, it's a conversation that's not being had and it needs to be had.
Let's go through some of, I think you said, six areas of wellness. Let's talk a little bit about physical wellness.
Okay. So that one comes extremely easy for me to talk about because we encourage people to go and exercise. So when I think of physical wellness, I'm thinking of what are the things you're doing to help improve your overall physical health. You know, when you're born, you have this one body, and this body is a machine. Mm-hmm. And how you take care of that machine is how you're going to function. Now, unfortunately, some things can happen that you have no control of, but a lot of things we have control of, like what are we eating that can affect us and that affects our physical health? Are we exercising? Are we sleeping well? Are we taking our medications? All of that affects our physical health. I've dealt with a lot of people who have chronic back problems, and some of it is just because of the posture while they're at work. And so with physical wellness, we have certified trainers who talk about proper posture, types of exercises to strengthen your core. They train individuals to really focus on their physical health and improve their life in that regard. And then I, being a physician, also encourage and try to get nurse practitioners, other physicians, to focus on the disease of the month. Like if it's breast cancer awareness or mental health awareness month, let's give everyone the tools necessary to improve their health.
Are you a good example for all this wellness?
I would say so. I am trying to do exactly what I'm preaching. I work out, eat right, sleep well. But the biggest thing, John, is when I notice there's a stressor or a trigger, I identify it, and then I do something. So sometimes people may not be where they need to be, but as long as they're able to identify it, and once they identify it, then get the tools, and that's what the gym is about.
Talk to us about those stresses and triggers. How does one identify those?
So, you know, one of the things like that I notice a lot is a lot of it has to do with work, you know. There's a lot of people who are in jobs that either they're not happy because they don't understand what they're doing, or maybe they do understand what they're doing, but because there's something happening at home, they're bringing it to work. Mm-hmm. And one of the stressors could be something financial, like they don't know how to manage their finances, or they're overwhelmed in debt and they don't know where to go. One of the things I think about is earlier in the year with the government shutdown and how many people were affected. So once that occurred, what tools do they have to then try to ensure that, God forbid, something like that happens again, they would have the resources or the funds necessary to be able to function. So identifying the stressors are, something's happening in my life. It has to do with money. Let me now do something about it. Or it's a relational issue. Let me talk to somebody about it. Or I'm not sleeping well. What could be causing it? Or I'm not able to work effectively at work. Let me now find the tools that will help me.
I understand. Does that interact with the personal, professional wellness that you're speaking of?
Yeah, so what I did was I tried to go through, like, what is it that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, month-to-month basis? So we talked about physical, but then there's that emotional part. I'm stressed, I'm anxious. And some people have a challenging time figuring out what that trigger is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where going to the gym to work out, that part would help. Then lifestyle wellness, and that's where we have a certified health coach. And she again talks about, if you're not sleeping well, what is the evidence behind good sleep? Why do we always say, hey, you need to get 6 to 8 hours of sleep? And why is that important? Food, we can tell people eat healthy. Cooking at home sometimes is a challenge for people, so giving them tools when they do go out and eat, you know, budgeting so they can afford the healthier foods, making the foods taste good, because some kids will say, you know, broccoli doesn't taste good as French fries. We're trying to do things and give them tools to improve. Social interaction is extremely important in this day and age of social media. So many people don't have conversations anymore,
right,
and they hide behind their screen. So also being able to interact in a social environment or get out and still do the face-to-face with friends, colleagues, et cetera. Of course, we know financial wellness is important. There is a lot of individuals, as our baby boomer population grows, that, you know, debt, retirement, all of that, those are things that they think about. Do they have the tools? Then I even think about when I was young and I was in college, I grew up in a very stable family, but I remember being in college and getting my first credit card and using that credit card,
mm-hmm,
and not realizing the proper use. And there's so many students that if we target them at a young age and create, you know, programs that could help them financially, that would also decrease some of these other stressors. And then, like we've talked about, professional wellness, you know, interview etiquette, that's important, how to hold a job or how to find a job. So I'm trying to really create a culture of workplace wellness where employers have the opportunity to enhance the lives of their employees and their families by addressing these health issues through their benefit programs, policies, and just overall workplace culture, having that conversation.
You're listening to In Black America with Johnny O. Hanson, Jr. We'll be back with more of our conversation in just a moment. And now back to this episode of In Black America. Dr. Umana, how do we navigate this food oasis, so to speak? What to eat, not to eat, eating in certain portions, eating certain things at certain times of the day. How do we make sense of all this?
That's why individuals have to come to the Wellness Institute, because it is a process. And sometimes it has to do with your medical history. So
mm-hmm,
I can't necessarily say that one size fits all.
Gotcha.
So if there's a workplace and there's individuals who are struggling with that whole question that you just asked, this is where, if their employers are saying, hey, we've got a program that can help you navigate that, because this patient is a diabetic, so their carbohydrate intake is going to be different than someone who's not a diabetic. And then if this person has chronic kidney disease, we can create a plan to help support that. So to answer that question, that's exactly what we're trying to do, help individuals, help workplaces cultivate the environment where it's okay to have the conversation and there's resources available to train their mind so they know what to do.
Are there two different guides or measurement, one for corporate and one for personal?
Yes, our big focus is on workplace wellness. That's our target market. However,
mm-hmm,
we do have one-on-one for individuals, and we do have classes at the Wellness Institute in Suwannee for anyone who wants to sign up. But we do offer both for everyone.
Now, you're in Georgia. How does one participate in the Wellness Institute if they're located in other states?
So we have an online platform. So what we've created is, let's say there's a company that's a small or medium-sized company, and they want access to what we're doing. They would send us an email request. We do a consultation, and then we create a package to tailor what their needs are. And our instructors have created online video content. So we have a catalog, a library of content that's available, but then we can also specify what they need and create additional content. So there's the ability for them to watch online. Then now with the age of technology, we can actually do live classes if need be, and they could participate that way. So we're very accessible, and we're even open to traveling, just depending on the need, the number of employees, and we're able to customize the packages depending on the need of the customer.
And doing the research for this interview, I had read on the article which was written about you, the CDC released in 2018, talking about a 25% rise in the last 15 years of suicides in this country.
Yeah, we looked at that article a couple years ago, and this is one of the things that really impacted me, touched me, and then I've experienced it with, you know, patients or something that's happened where I'm noticing it's happening a lot in younger age kids, mm-hmm. just all over. So to see that number, and unfortunately it's growing, it was a cry. I said, you know, we need to really talk about how people are processing, and you can't just look at the external, because someone can look like everything's okay, but deep down inside they're going through so much. But really want to create that culture in the workplace where it's okay to say, hey, I need additional help in this area, and it's not taboo. So if it's already there, then let's do it.
I understand. Besides getting our mind right, I also understand that you have another nonprofit, Living Real.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that.
So this is another passion. As we stated, I was born in Nigeria, came to the States when I was young, and have had the ability, the support to pursue my passion and my career. And one of the biggest things I realized is, you know, it's not the, I got this quote from Corey Ten Boom, mm-hmm. the activist, it's not the duration of your life, it's the donation. And so I wanted to do something to give back. So what Living Real does, we have three main areas. Our major focus is rebuilding a school in Nigeria, so trying to give those students tools and rebuilding the entire school and giving them a science lab, et cetera, to help their career and their goals. But then we also do a program here in the States called the Real Empowerment Program, and we target juniors and seniors in high school, mostly underserved students. And we mentor, we do monthly mentorships, quarterly mentorships, give them a scholarship, and help them figure out what they want to do in life to really create a plan. And then lastly, we partner with other nonprofits and give our time or resources to other nonprofits.
Obviously, you can't do all this alone. Who are the other individuals that make up your team?
So for the Wellness Institute, I have an amazing team. I have a marketing director, a chief operating officer, and they do a lot of work. And then we have a manager that is the day-to-day individual, and a financial team. So they keep it running within my workplace. You know, I work and then, of course, have a team within the hospital system. And then the nonprofit has a board. They all know who they are, and they all know they mean the world to me. And then, of course, God, my mom, my dad. You know, I could go down the whole line of people who just support me.
Dr. Umana, everyone or people listening to this program may think that you got to where you are today real simple and easy. It wasn't any obstacles that you had to overcome. But obviously, there probably were some. Can you explain what they were?
Yes. Like I said, I was born in a third world country, so my parents were by no ways wealthy. Mm-hmm. My dad came to the States, and he worked hard, and he tried to implement and institute that same work ethic in me and my brother. But growing up, things weren't handed to us, so I learned the importance of hard work. And then being a minority, going to institutions that we were the minority, you had to really prove yourself and work hard and be able to take, I call it constructive criticism. Sometimes it may not have came out that way. And just have a lot of self-confidence in yourself and have a lot of emotional support. And then just working in the field of medicine is challenging, is constantly changing. There's a lot of expectations. So it's not been easy, but anytime you have a passion to help, a passion to make a difference in your life, it's well worth it.
Now, you're located in and around Atlanta, Georgia. Being in that location where there's a large African-American presence, has what you're doing been really accepted?
I think within the circle that I have been able to expose myself to, yes. And what I'm trying to do is really expand my borders and help as many people as I can. But to answer your question, yes.
Do you have an opportunity to go out and mentor young people?
All the time. We do it through the nonprofit, The Living Real Incorporated. So one of the things we've done is we've partnered with some of the local high schools. So I went back to the high school that I went to, Reedan High School, and then we've partnered with high schools in other counties, and we've asked the counselors to select individuals that they feel would be beneficial to the program. That's one of the biggest ways we've partnered. And then anytime I get an opportunity to work with another nonprofit that's focusing, like there's one that I've worked with called I Am Beautiful, with young girls and self-esteem and empowering young women. So any opportunity I get, I'm constantly doing that.
Obviously, the Mind Gym, one size does not fit all. What are the length of the processes?
So, again, it's so customizable. The content depends on what the client needs. So what we like to do for specifically workplace wellness, which is our main target audience, companies who are interested, we create a whole library of content. So the physical could be courses on, again, if it's a job where it's a lot of heavy lifting, proper lifting, things to do to strengthen your core, et cetera. Emotional wellness is a lot of content in that, just because there's a lot of individuals that deal with anxiety, stress, depression, and we're giving them tools to improve it, to identify it. And it's the same thing with lifestyle, social, financial. Like, there's a lot of course content behind it based on what the consumer needs.
Obviously, you had to whittle down, you know, what is being offered. So how long did it take you to come up with the concept and to come up with the coursework?
This idea was in my mind probably around 2014, 15. It was an idea in my head. Then as I continued to experience life, talk to individuals, it just continued to formulate itself. And then you get around individuals like my executive team, as well as just the operational team and the marketing team, and they further help. So in the past year and a half, we've done a lot of work to really understand and then a lot of research behind it.
Dr. Adoba Sayamana, a board-certified internal medicine physician and founder of the Wellness Institute, located in Suwanee, Georgia. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.